You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Diaconia, a Call to Service. My name is Deacon Richard Hudzik, and not joining me today, I repeat, not joining me today is beloved colleague Deacon Dave Brensick, who's usually here for this monthly half hour of radio excellence. Dave, unfortunately, was on vacation a couple of weeks ago and decided, well, I don't know if he decided, but a little mishap, he and a mountain did not agree, slipped, fell, broke a bone, and he's out in Arizona at the moment on the mend. We expect to see him next week, so we'll welcome back to the office. And this broadcast that we do is courtesy of the Archdiocese of Chicago that's graciously allowed the office of the diaconate this 30 minutes of time with you. And having been offered the opportunity to share with you, the Office of the Diaconate wants to take this time to discuss with all who are listening the call to service that is a call made to all of God's people and not just those who are ordained as deacons in the Catholic Church. And so the tack that we take is to consider how what the deacons are doing might be of interest to and instructive for others, how we might jointly engage in this project of service. We always say that this is a show not about deacons, but it's a show by deacons so that we can dialogue with one another about how we can act our way into a new way of thinking rather than just thinking about something, but we also want to invite people to act on these gospel initiatives and to develop a fuller and richer faith, faith in the life of our Lord Jesus. So we want to offer these vignettes of service in the diaconia, in the diaconate, and hopefully inspire others to join with us and even better, show us how to do what we're doing even better. The word diaconia, the name of the show, that's a reminder to you, that's the Greek word for service. And before we go any further, I want to start off with a prayer and dedicate ourselves as we do each time in the show. The diaconate itself is entrusted to the guidance of our Blessed Mother Mary. And the few words I have are from a Vatican document of prayer that's part of the documents that guide and govern the life of the diaconate. So we pray, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Mary, teacher of charity, by your total openness to God's call, you cooperated in bringing to birth all of the Church's faithful. Make the call to holiness of us all fruitful by teaching us to give ourselves to the service of the people of God. And we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And again, my name is Richard Hudzik. I am a deacon. I am blessed to be a deacon. I'm also blessed to serve in the Archdiocese as the vicar for deacons. I was ordained in 1998. And in addition to the office of the diaconate job, I am also blessed to serve the people at the Divine Providence Parish in Westchester. Now, I have joining me this morning another deacon, a handsome young man by the name of Deacon Freddy Palacios. Freddy, tell us something about yourself and why you're here today.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for inviting me. I've been ordained in November 2003. Mm-hmm. I married my wife, Zoila. We have 5 kids and 16 grandkids.
Wow. I thought I was good. I got 3 kids and 8 grandkids, but you beat me.
And I'm blessed to be serving at St. Charles Borromeo Park in Melrose Park. And I also, as a day job, I run my own business.
And what kind of business is that?
It's a business for the electroplating industry.
Okay.
I maintain most of their equipment, and I build rectifiers for them.
A rectifier. Okay. We'll do another show on rectifiers.
Rectifiers.
It sounds scary. Well, that's good. Now you say your day job. I think we use you know the air quotes that between doing that and father, grandfather, husband, deacon, you've got a lot on your plate, and you've also got another feather in your cap. I was there at the election, but over this past summer, the National Association of Hispanic Deacons had its annual meeting in Chicago, and they had an election, and they picked you as president. Am I right on that?
Yes, yes, I am the
okay.
president.
Well, congratulations, and I'm sure that comes with a really big paycheck, or no? No.
Not really.
Okay, not at all. What does the Association of National Hispanic Deacons do? What's that about?
We get together once a year, and our goal is to get all the deacons together, share with them some of the best stuff that we can do for our communities, and mainly to get improved on our education, trying to talk about what being a deacon means, and of course, trying to get all the deacons of the country together to serve better for the Spanish community.
Okay, all right, that's good. It's a big task.
Yes, it is.
It's a big task in the Archdiocese of Chicago. When we take a look at people's ethnicity and what they want to call themselves, we're proud to say in the Archdiocese, we're the largest in the world. We're about 550, 570 active deacons here, and if you include some of us in other parts of the country who are still Chicagoans, we're about 600 deacons, just under 25%. I think that's actually 24% of Chicago deacons would describe themselves as Hispanic. So it's a large contingent, even in our office, in the diaconate here in the Archdiocese, and other dioceses, I suppose, have a greater or lesser representation of Hispanic folks, Spanish-speaking folks who are deacons. So it's good work that you do, and I'm always on the road to learning Spanish, but I'm a million miles away from the finish line, 1,000,001 miles away from the finish line. So God bless you for that work that you do. Now, the other, just to turn the corner a bit, we want to talk about some of the work that you're doing in your home country or your country of birth, which is Guatemala, right?
Yes, it is.
Right. And the, We frame this conversation in terms of the diaconate, and the permanent deacon is relatively, is, well, in terms of the stretch of church history, is a brand new kid on the block. We just celebrated this past summer the 50th anniversary, 50, only 50 years ago in the modern church was the permanent diaconate reestablished. And so I think there's still a lot of uncertainty about who a deacon is and what he does. And truth be told, I think for many, many Catholics, the, I suppose sad, you can say, the main contact that people have with the deacon is in his role as a servant of the liturgy. He'll be at the Sunday Mass or weekday Mass. He may be reading the gospel, occasionally preaching, and baptisms and funeral and wake services. But there's more to the diaconate than that that we always want to point out. Overall, we want to call the deacon to be an icon, that is a representation, something that brings people to think about something else. And deacon is an icon of Christ the servant. So not only is he a servant on the altar, but he's also a servant in his teaching function, in the RCIA classes, in the baptismal prep. And I'm getting the sign from our excellent producer that I need to break this off, and we'll come back after these messages and pick up the trail then.
Cardinal Blaise Supich speaks on behalf of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Now more than ever, it is important that we as a society recognize how poverty and injustice strip away human dignity. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development works with nonprofits, both faith-based and secular, to provide the vital support needed to promote systemic change in our communities.
The annual CCHD collection takes place the weekend of November 17th and 18th. Please give generously to support your neighbors.
Please join me as we work together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to fight poverty and ensure that everyone, especially those who live on the margins of society, participates in decisions that affect their lives, families, and communities. Now more than ever, we need the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Supich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, where more than 2,000 Catholics shared the message of evangelization. And we'll visit with two priests who are playing key roles in the ongoing Renew My Church process.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
What does the gift of hope look like? It's an abandoned young woman with two young children searching for help. I'm Maggie at Catholic Charities Housing Services. As we worked with her, she blossomed before our eyes. She wrote a book, married, and often returned to say hello. You see, we believed in her, and she trusted us because, for us, this isn't just a job. It's a calling to be Chicago's Good Samaritan. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Segment 2 of this month's edition of Diaconia, A Call to Service. Deacon Richard Hudzik here, and I have as my special guest, Deacon Freddie Palacios. Before the break, I was yammering on about the deacon as being an icon of Christ the servant, and I want to get into some particulars. And I just ask the listening audience to keep in mind that the aim of the deacon is to point to our Lord, never pointing to the deacon himself, but to point to the Lord through the work that the deacon does in his work of charity, his hands-on work with the poor, the marginalized, those on the existential peripheries, as our Pope Francis has described it. So he's a deacon of the word. He's a deacon of the liturgy. He's also a deacon of service. Now, before the break, Freddie, we mentioned the country of Guatemala, and that is your place of birth. Am I correct on that?
Yes, it is.
And now you have the good fortune of being able to travel back there and spend some good amount of time down there, right?
Yes.
And are you doing anything deacon-ish in the country of Guatemala? And if so, what might that be? See, I used to be a lawyer, so I'm going to talk like a lawyer.
Sure. Yes, actually, after probably like 10 years ago, we went back there to spend some the first Christmas over there. And then we saw firsthand all the needs that that is there for especially for the kids 12 to 15 years old. They've been targeted by the gangs, and they get dropped out of the school and a lot of the stuff just because their social limitations that they have over there.
You mentioned, let me just jump in, that you mentioned the gangs. Is this is this a city problem, or is this the kids living in the countryside, or is it more severe in one area than another?
Actually, the whole Central America have that problem right now. It's been getting bigger and bigger.
So I don't have to be living in Guatemala City to be worried about this.
No, no. The conditions over there in the whole Central America have become due to no opportunities for the young kids to join into that. It's a lot easier, especially when you are out of the city limits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you use the age reference of 12 to 15 year olds. Now you're working with these kids. Tell me something about that. Where you're doing it and what you're doing.
Okay. Well, we started to try to give them an opportunity to them. Try to give them some skills, and we thought about giving some trains and jobs, especially like and carpentry, electricity. A lot of other things that we doing, and we prepare a program for 3 years, trying to prepare the kids as a young and entrepreneurs, so they can start their own business, and we are trying to do that in a 3 years period.
Okay, so if I'm a 12-year-old kid is this in Guatemala City, or have you got other sites in Guatemala?
We started in Guatemala, but we also have one school that started this year in El Salvador, and one more in Argentina.
What city in El Salvador?
San Salvador.
San Salvador, yeah. Okay. All right, so you're in the capital city of,
yes,
Guatemala and El Salvador.
El Salvador, yeah.
Now, how about Argentina? Where's that?
It's in Argentina, and we are about to start one in Cordoba.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're focusing on 12 to 15 year olds, and this you might say we'd say in this country that it's a trade school. How many kids say in Guatemala have you got going through this right now?
Right now, altogether, we have about 100 kids.
Wow! Wow!
Yes.
And you've been doing this for how long?
2 years.
2 years. And have you got graduates so far, or are they still in the training?
Yes, the graduation starts this month.
Okay.
There will be one. The Argentinians will be in December, but in Guatemala and El Salvador, the graduation will be the finish of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because the graduation for all, the whole thing will be 3 years altogether, but we finalize, and every year we finalize, we're going to do like kind of graduation,
mm-hmm,
for them.
Okay. So you've got kids, 100 of them now, doing basic skills in carpentry and electricity and anything else?
Bakery.
Baking, okay.
Yeah, and also learning how to sew and do a lot of stuff.
Okay, them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so who's you're not down there all the time, but so who's doing the teaching?
What we do is that we prepare a team, and we put a team of volunteers, and then they will work together, you know, and they with them for the whole year. In my case, I go twice a year to supervise and make sure everything is okay.
Okay. Now, why are you doing this and not the government?
Because the government actually got a lot of other programs, but these are for the, especially for the kids that are forgotten, the kids that don't have any chance at all. In our countries, we have the spaces are so limited, and the opportunities are not existed at all.
Okay, so you're not replacing the government. You're adding to what they might have and breaking with kids that need the opportunity. So we'll finish up with this in our conversation in just a second.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
There are more students in Catholic schools thanks to the generosity of tax credit scholarships. Abuse victims discuss how the current crisis is affecting them. Local Catholics celebrate the canonization of Salvadorian Archbishop Oscar Romero, and Bishop Hicks speaks with youth about what's going on at the Synod in Rome.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news. Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
Third and final segment of this broadcast of Diaconia Call to Service. Again, we've got Deacon Freddie Palacios in the studio, and I am the host, Deacon Richard Hudzik. We're talking about the school project that Deacon Freddie has been working with and instrumental in getting off the ground in not only Guatemala, but also in El Salvador and Argentina. Before the break, we were talking generally about it's a trade school for adolescents, 12 to 15 years old, and you've got about 100 kids going through it now, and graduation's coming up. But some kids have gone through a part of the school. Can you give us any success stories, any hope that comes out of this that you see?
Yes, definitely. The best thing is that we have almost zero drop-off. All the kids that started are still there. They are very happy about it. We've been fortunate enough to get other people to help a little bit. Mm-hmm. For especially, we went to a place where we need all the tools and everything, and we wanted to see if they can give us any discount. Mm-hmm. And after we explained what this is all about, they get excited, and they donate the whole thing.
That's beautiful. So yes. These are businesses down in Guatemala and El Salvador.
Down in Guatemala, yes.
It's beautiful. And so now tell me, are these kids, are they going to other school in addition to this or not?
Yes, we encourage them to finalize their school that they are enrolled in.
Okay.
This will be for Saturday's afternoon.
Okay.
And they've been doing every Saturday. Okay. Ever since they started.
And this is all year, or is this just during the school year?
During the school year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, have you got girls participating in this?
Yes, they. I would say 30% of the participants are girls.
30.
Yes.
Okay. And are you pushing the envelope in terms of the normal education for a young lady in Guatemala? With they typically working with hammers and saws, or are you promoting a social revolution? And
it is amazing the way they reacted, the way they because like you said, we are accustomed to the work for men and work for women. We
are different things. So
do different things, but they are very happy that they can take this opportunity, because they know nowadays it is a very good opportunity for them to have the skills to go to any company and work for it, or to start their own business.
Okay. Now, starting their own business, these would be maybe helping with the family business, or starting their own thing.
Yes, we are happy enough that a couple of weeks the Congress of Guatemala approved that the kids can start their own business at that age that we started it, and they are going to give some grants or something, and we're going to try to take an advantage for them to
beautiful. So it's you're not breaking the child labor laws in Guatemala, because the Guatemalan Congress has said go for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Now, thus far, this has been enabled through your hard work and donations from people, from those vendors providing the materials and supplies, and other private donations to you. Now, if I wanted to get more information about this, and you're still in the ground game of getting things together, is it okay if I suggest that if people want to get in touch for more information, I can link them up to you? And my suggestion to the listening audience is that if you want to, you can call the diaconate office for the Archdiocese. I know where Freddie is. I can always find Freddie. The phone is 708-366-8900, 708-366-8900. And if you want to email the diaconate office, that would be diaconate@archchicago.org, diaconate@archchicago.org. You can send me an email, and I'll try to get an answer for you, and I'll connect you up with Freddie. Now, final note before we have to say goodbye and thank you for your work, Freddie, and doing us proud and really being a shining light for us. So thank you very much for that. But later today, maybe tomorrow, this show will be on the Archdiocese webpage. So your kids down in Guatemala or El Salvador will be able to access the link that will be up on the Arch Chicago webpage, so they can. They can listen to me, and listen to you as well, but I wonder if in closing you could say a few words of encouragement to your young friends down in Guatemala. En español, por favor.
Claro que sí, muchachos. Esta es una prueba del corazón especial que tienen muchas personas para ayudarlos. Échenle muchas ganas, traten de salir adelante. Tenemos mucha fe en ustedes, tanto como ustedes en nosotros. Que Dios los bendiga.
And I think I got the gist of that, and I hear the music fading in or coming in, so I don't need to translate that, but I think generally, God bless you kids, and this is a project that's close to your heart.
Yes, it is.
Also, God bless you, Deacon Freddie.
Thank you.
So long, and we'll see you next month. Well, you won't see me, you'll hear me next month. Okay.